Lord willing, we're going to get back into Colossians this evening. We ended up in the sixth verse, and I'd like to get reading from the third verse right now, and we'll go into the third through the eighth verse here. So it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." This is wonderful, Paul, hallelujah, that he prayed always for these folks. And I would hope that we would have that kind of compassion on our hearts. Again, the Lord so moved my heart in thinking to those that are away. I appreciated Brother Derek and his prayer, the ones that used to be in meeting in fellowship here. We pray for them, that the Lord is encouraging them and blessing them. But we would love to have that fellowship. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and to desire that unity again in spirit and in the truth and in especially the faith that God is bringing us to. It's going to be whole pretty soon. And I want all of it. And by His grace, we want our brothers and sisters to have every bit of it. Hallelujah. To know Him as He wants us to know Him. But it says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." See, that's the hope. Hallelujah. It's not in things of this earth. It's not in a job. It's not in education. It's not in all of those things. Our hope is in heaven. Hallelujah. But the thing that people don't realize is you can live that right now by His grace. That's the joy of the Lord being our strength. Knowing what's to come, so awesome. But it's not even worthy, the things that are happening to us aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. But live that glory life right now. Hallelujah. That's the sweetness of communion that we can have, that Lord willing, that's the correction that Paul is encouraging us to, that maybe we'll get into a little bit tonight. "But whereof ye heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Now let's get back into that sixth verse, and we'll pick it up there. "Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard." And I do not like reading these italicized of it, because I believe it reads more perfectly with "since the day ye heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Because let me tell you something, when you really listen and hear and have the Word of God working in your life, you are going to see the grace of God in truth. It's just going to happen like that. It's not two different things. The Word of God is the grace of God. Hallelujah, because that's His Son. But again, picking it up in the sixth verse, you see there that the Word, the truth, it says it is everywhere, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. And it truly is everywhere. We spoke on it Sunday morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says that God is even revealed in creation. You cannot get away from it. But then, hallelujah, God is revealed and should be revealed in His children. How about that? And those children are in every kindred, tongue, and nation. People can't get away from the Word of God. They can't get away from the light of God. It is everywhere. Mankind is truly without excuse. And it came all by Jesus Christ, and it came by grace. And so wondrous. And so wonderful is this grace brings forth fruit. And you need to understand this in your life. Any fruit that will ever be produced in our life is going to come from the grace of God. Read this word. Hallelujah. Let Him speak this to you. Again, the Word of God tells us how we grow and mature as Christians is only in and by grace. Grace is not man's work. It is God's work. We heard Brother Hill say so many times how grace flows down. Remember how he would always say that? Grace has to come down. There has to be something better that had to give grace to something that was lower. And that's the epitome of that grace that came down in the wonderful form of Jesus Christ to us, the love of God. The epitome of grace. Grace incarcerated in that wonderful man, hallelujah, that was Jesus Christ and our God and Savior, hallelujah. But see, grace, again, only flows down. And if we will receive the outpouring of that wonderful grace, we will grow and mature into the all-pleasing fruit to God. And how precious it says in this word, it says here, since ye heard of it. See, the profits and the return of that wonderful grace is immediate. And why? You read here in the Word of God why this happened is because they knew the grace of God in truth. They knew the grace of God in truth. Truth is grace, brothers and sisters. Truth is not works. Truth is not earned. Truth truly is given freely. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift. Salvation, hallelujah, is a wonderful gift. I was talking to a man again this week, and I was talking about how wonderful the love of God is and how the safekeeping of God is in our life and how He truly is our keeper and that we are forgiven. We are forgiven. And he said, yes, if we repent. And I said, now, brother, I said, what happens when we don't abide faithful? And he could finish it. He abides faithful still. Amen? Amen. What shall separate us from the love of God? It includes everything in there. Nothing. Nothing separates us from the love of God. That's the beauty of the security that we have. That's the reason that the Lord's been encouraging me in my heart so much in meeting people that truly do believe that His salvation is secure and it's forever. There's nothing to separate you from it. And you know what he encouraged me with is he said, that life has the potential for my best. Isn't that wonderful? That's the grace of God in truth. That's how these people heard and they knew that the grace of God was in this wonderful truth. And that's where it's saying here that only the fruit, true fruit, and any fruit comes through that grace that we come into a knowledge of. Again, people that are caught up into thinking that they can lose their salvation. There's no fruit that's going to be produced in that life. Not the true fruit. It cannot happen because it has to come in grace. And you can understand you're not a hearer of the Word of God if you're into works. You're not. Look what this says again. They that they heard and knew the grace of God in truth. You can listen to this. But when you hear it and it becomes your own and you're listening to the shepherd, that's when the grace of God truly will work. And that's when fruit will come out of your life. And you can't stop it. I'm going to tell you, it's going to come out of your life because we are His creation. And I pray by grace again that He'll complete us into that wondrous masterpiece. All right. Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And again, I appreciate this. This gives me such peace and rest. This really does bring to my soul. But by grace, to be a fellow servant, to be like-minded as our brother Paul, standing in the same precious truth. Epaphras preached the same word of grace that was given to Paul. He didn't give them anything more. He didn't give them anything less. I was thinking here as the Lord brought this to me. Hallelujah. It was equal with Paul's message and the reward is going to be equal. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to start. I appreciated Brother Hill saying this to me about this wonderful pulpit. He says, if there's anything ever preached anything different or new than I have preached, it's wrong. Now, that a lot of people would say, now, wait a second. What's that, brother? And it says, because he preached from the Word of God. Now, the Lord can enlighten us and encourage us and just so wonderfully illuminate our lives into understanding something more. But it's been brought out. And that's what Epaphras did, is he followed Paul as he followed Christ. And that's what he was giving. You see what man's doing today. They're trying to twist scriptures, make something out of this that's not there. And that's the difference. I want the reward, that the same reward by the grace of God that Epaphras was seeing here, that Brother Paul was given. Hallelujah. And that wonderful reward is, I have finished my course. See, that's the reward we want. What is greater than the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Come on now, really. What's greater than that? Don't we want that reward? Why would there be something new or different that we would want to seek besides what Brother Paul was given out to these people? Epaphras knew that. That what was so wonderful. That's the rest that the Lord truly has been giving me in this pulpit, and I thank Him for it so much. Again, even a greater rest. His son preached the word. Just preach the Word of God. I will give the increase, son. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be numbers. It might be a few. I appreciate it. Brother Hill said, hey, if there's just one or two sitting in here, or we had thousands, by the grace of God, it's going to be him. I'm going with Jesus because it's his grace and it's in that faith that I want to rest in him. Hallelujah. But again, there was nothing of himself in this message. And that made him a faithful minister. And again, I appreciated that thinking. If we'll step aside in our life and let God take control, he'll make us faithful. Think about how man wants to always approach faithfulness. You think about this. They think that they have to do something. Again, you hear so much in Christian churches today, and I'm saddened for them. Well, I have to take accountability. I am accountable before God. I understand that. But he takes my accountability. Hallelujah. It's his sufficiency. It's his grace that will get me through. And it's all sufficient every time. And it's going to be completely victorious if I really, by the grace of God, will come clean with him and give it to God. He's the deliverer. And I really believe that he is encouraging my life and the people in this meeting to truly step out even more so in faith. There is no limit to God. There is no limit to his faith. It's ever exceeding at an increasing rate as they found in this wonderful, expansive universe. But that's just speaking of his greatness in our life and what truth that he can bring us to and what love that he can give our life. Hallelujah. And Paul, how it's so precious here, how he acknowledges him and he thanks God for Epaphras' faithfulness, the faithfulness of God in him. And may we strive to have that kind of testimony. I appreciate, by the grace of God, when people say, I appreciate the faithfulness of God in your life, Jesse. And I appreciate to say that to other people as well, too. So wonderful, again, that the loving words of Paul to Epaphras, and so wonderful the loving words of Epaphras to those people. Those were words of encouragement. Look what it says here in verse 8. It says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Hallelujah. As God puts on our hearts, may we freely bestow to one another words of love. There's enough negativity in this world, isn't there? Don't you think? See, this world's just trying to tear us down in a lot of ways. Oh, you're a Christian? You're one of those nuts? You're one of those boneheads? You're that weak that you have to go to church even on a Wednesday night? What's wrong with you, huh? Hallelujah. That's what's right with you. Do you get that? That's what's right. When the Lord has made you tender, I appreciated Brother Dave's prayer. I appreciated the songs. We're looking for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to come. Hallelujah. And the first time he's going to come is he's going to meet that group in the air. If you know your word, hallelujah. And that's what we're about, is to rightfully divide that word. And that's real. I was speaking to that sister today and I appreciated her. I said, you know, they'll tell you it's been so long and she's up there in years. And it was so precious to hear the glory, the strength, the joy of the Lord in that broken body. And man, I'm telling you, she's not a wealthy person. I could tell that. She's just down in a little teeny place down there in Trinidad and all that, but she's got the wealth of forever. I'm telling you. And she's looking for it. And those that are looking for it, I'm going to tell you, he's going to meet them with something. Oh, man, it's beyond anything that our minds, our thoughts, our ideas, anything like that could ever imagine what he's prepared for them that love him. And that little lady loves the Lord. And she knows that that's her payday. Hallelujah. But it's today. She's living it today. That's the beautiful thing about it. And that's when you're living the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. But see, again, may we profess words of love as the Lord puts them on our hearts to edify one another. Don't be shy to tell somebody you love them. Don't be shy to tell somebody thank you for doing something. What do you think about that? Didn't it say thankfulness in everything? Hallelujah. I appreciate that. And I'm going to say a little bit of something right now. And I might, I hope I encourage. I'm not trying to condemn it all, and I appreciate these words would be in love. But the church, by the grace of God, does a wonderful gifting to the kids that are going to college. And we really appreciate that. We love that. I think it's a wonderful thing that this church does. And it's a ministry to encourage those kids in the things of God and in school. I really do believe that, and I hope that sits well with your heart as well, too. But you know what? I am hopeful that those young people aren't just expecting, but they're appreciative. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, this old world tries to just get us to be complacent, like it's just expected. You understand what I'm saying? We want to be thankful. See, we want to give as an assembly, just like the Word of God and just as Christ gives. We just give because He wants us to give. Hallelujah. Not of necessity, but of a joyful heart, of a loving heart. But you know what? As a recipient, even to the Lord, even though I know that I can come boldly to that throne of grace and I'm going to get everything I ever needed, hallelujah, in my time of need, I'm going to get mercy, I'm going to get grace. But you know what? When you go there and you have the right heart, you're thankful. You go in there and just say, oh, give me that. Oh, I know that's mine. Just give me that. That's not how you approach God. That's not how you approach Him at all. You're thankful, aren't you, man? You know it's free. But you're so thankful for it. Help you, me, our young people, be thankful in everything. Hallelujah. So there you go. I'll get a letter, I'm sure, or a note maybe about that. All right. Now next, notice in that 8th verse, which is so precious here, is the love in the Spirit. You know, He just doesn't talk about love. I appreciate the Word of God and how the Lord brings that out. This is Spirit love. This is the highest of loves. I love that. See, the love of God can truly be shed abroad in our heart. You can love things that you never thought you could love. I'm telling you. You can love longer than you ever thought you could love. And you could love stronger. You can love higher. All of those types of things. But it's going to come through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know it. I mean, I just appreciate it. I was talking to a couple over dinner this evening, and there was this man that I know the Lord had me have so much compassion for, but did me so wrong. And I knew it wasn't a man. But, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would have tried to find him to run over him. But see, that's what the love of God can do in your life. I have compassion. And I'm not saying it's not me naturally, Jesse. It's my new man. Because that's the man that's taken over in my life. Hallelujah. And I have compassion. And really, by the grace of God, I think things are being worked there that who knows what may happen. I would hope to see him and his family even in this assembly. Now, that would be a miracle. But who knows? Worshiping the Lord. Coming into fellowship again in the unity of the Spirit. What a precious thing. Hallelujah. But you see, the highest and the greatest love is this love in the Spirit. And this is the love, hallelujah, that the Word of God tells us that takes the things of Christ and truly makes them ours. Because when you really get the love of God in your life, you realize how Jesus Christ loves you, gave Himself for you, God gave His Son for you. And hallelujah, what He wants to share with you. And that's when you're starting to see joint heirship with Jesus Christ. What a privilege to take the things of Christ and to make them ours. And again, that's the Holy Spirit's love. You'll find that in John 16, 12 through 15. All right, now getting into the 9th verse. Now, this is the apostles' wonderful sevenfold prayer. And this truly is the prayer for perfection in the saints. A lot of people, again, we talked a little bit about this on Sunday. They say, you mean I could be perfect? Hallelujah. Do you realize that you do stand perfect in a sense before God? You have been made worthy. This is talking about mature perfection. Hallelujah. And I'd like to start by just reading you chapter 4, if you'll go with me there, in the 12th verse, which is so precious here. This is kind of the completion of this prayer. Epaphras, who is one of you? A servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect, that's fully grown, mature, and complete in all the will of God. This is what this prayer we're going to read about is. This is what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants for every single one of His children. This is talking about the complete will of God. This is that all men would be saved and come to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're getting into high time with Him. Hallelujah. This is the age that we can come to the fullness of His glory with Him. What an opportunity. I just hope we understand what age we're in, what we're sitting in front of, which is the throne of grace, and what God wants to perfect in us. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll go ahead and read that 9th through the 14th verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Not just some, but every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with not some again, but all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is the total package here, folks. Giving thanks unto God, hallelujah, unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit or ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now that's quite a prayer, hallelujah. You can see the love of God that was so impressed on Paul's heart. And again, I'll bring us back to, the Lord's bringing us back to, follow Paul as he followed Christ. This was the one that attained. And there was a crown laid up for him. But it says it's not just to me, but those that love His appearing. Hallelujah. Those that are looking for Him. I want this by the grace of God. This is what we're after. Hallelujah. This is what Epaphras was bringing forth to these people. Nothing more, nothing less. Paul's message. Hallelujah. The dispensation, the mystery of Christ. This is what we're hearing. Okay. The ninth verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, the second time that he's praying for this. Again, nothing more powerful right from the beginning than prayer. You feel helpless? You feel like you can't do anything? Pray. Greatest thing you could ever do. You feel like you could do everything? You think that you could solve the problem? Pray. How's that? How about just pray? That's what's going to get it done, brother. That's what's going to get it done. Hallelujah. Whatever situation we're in, pray. That's the good ground. Hallelujah. That's the honest heart that we're going to talk about, Lord willing, on Sunday, that comes before the Lord and says, Lord, I'm praying for this. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. That's James 5:16. I appreciate my mom saying that to me many times over growing up. Something got you down, son? Pray. Believing. Hallelujah. That it's answered. Yeah, it's done. It's completed. That you heard me say in here before. You're healed. You may not think you are up here, but hallelujah in here. You're healed. Hallelujah. You're complete. I'm a son of God. I'm seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus right now. Hallelujah. How could I not be any more healed than that? That's complete. I'm perfect. I have new man. I have incorruptible seed. What else do I need except to grow up? Praise God. I'm complete in Jesus Christ. Now let Him perfect me. Hallelujah. But Paul here recognizes that their standing is perfect. He does. He acknowledges that they are perfect in the Lord in a sense that they have been made worthy because they're sons of God. But look what he says here. He desires a more spiritual development for them. He desired them not to just be children of God, but to actually walk in the Spirit. And Paul's prayer of instruction for the walk, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, hallelujah. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Another translation of this is the exact knowledge of His will. Could you imagine that? See, that's the boldness. That's when He enlarges my steps. You've heard me say, Polly mentioned to me so many months ago, you know, honey, how do you know? How do you know where you're going? I mean, how do you really know that that's where God really wants us? Does it align itself with the Word of God? I'm not waiting for this burning feeling somewhere or this sensation. Don't go there. Does it align itself with the Word of God? By faith, I trust Him. And I'm telling you, I'm going boldly. I'm going boldly. Praise God. What you going to speak on next Sunday? I don't know, but I'm going boldly because I know He's going to be here next Sunday. Hallelujah. If Jesus tarry, I'm trusting Him for that. I'm starting to rest in the Lord, and it's given my life a boldness, a joy, and a freedom I've never had. I'm just telling you, it's wonderful. And I want, by the grace of God, all of God's people to come into that fullness wherever He's put you to get that freedom in your life, to be able to go out there and to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what He wants for us. Praise God. And that, again, is the sweetness life that we can bring into our family, our children. You know, be the man and be the woman of God that He wants to be. It'll change things in your house. It really will. Don't be discouraged. You know, that's, I appreciate why you've got a spouse. It's for that spouse to be a little bit discouraged and you to run. It's for you maybe to be a little bit discouraged and your spouse to run. What do you think of that? And by the grace of God, he or she gets more discouraged, run harder. How about that? That's the precious thing, knowing my God will be faithful. He'll answer that. He said, I bring that into that household. He's going to bless it in there. He's going to keep those babies. Hallelujah. He's going to keep your marriage. By the grace of God, give it to him. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary. I appreciated my sweet cousin telling me. He patted me, and that meant so much to me. I can't tell you. He said to me, brother, don't be weary. I don't want to be weary. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. You know, Lord, straighten me up. You know, chasten me. I need that little spanking every once in a while. Hallelujah. To get me going. But this wonderful knowledge of His will is defined even more in Colossians 3:16. And if you turn over there in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, it's all around us. We have it. But is it dwelling richly in it? Again, I think how this so brings itself to what we're studying on Sunday is how the Lord wants us and encourages us to be the good ground. You know what I'm saying there? Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Huh? Holy, acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. And that reasonable service is so wonderfully given such grace and treasure because then He puts in the good, the acceptable, and even the perfect will of God. Do you see the benefits? They're unending. And it's accelerating. I appreciate that. And I've just had that on my heart again today. I was hearing a guy talking about that. Well, we really can't explain about how the galaxies and the universe is increasing at an increasing rate. Well, I can because it's God's. Huh? How can you know something and even get more excited about it all the time? It's got to be God. Because it's so good and it's so increasing. It's something that we can never truly express, but the grace of God, He makes it real in our hearts and our lives. And, you know, and we can say all these wondrous words and I appreciate Him, but how precious to live the love of God. Let people see it in our lives, in our actions, in our touch and in our love. What a gracious God we serve. But then again, it goes on to 1 Timothy 2:4. It said, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge or a full knowledge of the Lord. See, the will of God is in His Word and in the knowledge of it. Did you hear what I said there? The will of God is in His Word and in the knowledge of it. It's to know this. It's to know Him. This is Jesus Christ. God specifically set everything up in His Son. How we're going to please God is to know His Son. And to know His Son, I'm going to tell you, is to love Him. To really know Him. You've heard that expression. Well, to know me is to love me, whatever that is. But to know Him is truly to love Him. Of what He's done, what He's doing, and what by His grace He's going to bring us into. He's going to bring you into something so wonderful it's beyond you. But hallelujah, if we'll just submit and really yield our life to Him, He'll bring us into everything. We're talking even half of the kingdom. Meditate on that at night. You've got a problem? Well, I'm looking at half of the kingdom in front of me. Huh? Can't pay that bill? Well, I'm looking at half of the kingdom in front of me. What do you think? He'll be your sufficiency. Trust Him. Trust Him. He'll never leave His children begging bread. Come on now. Live the power of God. See, it's the knowledge of Him is love. The knowledge of Him is joy. The knowledge of Him is peace. The knowledge of Him is patience. The knowledge of Him is power. The knowledge of Him is everything. Everything. But we'll sit there sometimes in our pity and our long face or whatever it is. It's because we're not resting in the knowledge of God. Do you see? Now we'll go there because we're flesh, we're human. Not trying to again get you to feel all bad about yourself. We're human. But allow the power of God to rest upon your life. There is a preciousness. I guess that's a word. But there's a preciousness in being weak. It is. Do you think that He chastens His children? Do you think He might really truly want you to be weakened in the way? I think He does. Hallelujah. Because then I'm strong. Then I've got a power on me. And it's not just this power that the world thinks. Paul even says it's the very power of Jesus Christ on my life. And He's all powerful. What power doesn't he have? There's another power that's been even given or that exists. It's him. He gives everything. He'll put up what he wants to. He'll put down what he wants to. It's in his hand. Hallelujah. That's who loves me. But again, it only comes through knowing him. And without the word of God, brothers and sisters, it's never going to happen. If you feel stuck, if you feel like you're just spinning your wheel and all that, get in the word of God. Get in that word of God. You know, well, I don't know where to begin reading. Let him lead you in it. It's not just a flippant thing where whatever it is, let him give it to you. And hallelujah, he'll bring it to you. Now, with that knowledge, praise God, we're then empowered for verse 10. It says here that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I love that. Not just some. See, he doesn't want just a halfway here. He wants the complete, mature, perfect. Isn't that precious? That's what he wants from us. Do you see the calling throughout all the Word of God? He wants everything for us. Every provision has been made. All it is belief. Do I believe that for myself? Hallelujah. He's calling us. That's the sweet thing about him. But unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's that knowledge again. Such a precious thing. Hallelujah. In knowing his will, we then, hallelujah, are encouraged to step out in faith and walk worthy. You see, we can be filled again with the word. We can be filled with understanding. But hallelujah, by the grace of God, now we got to walk. We got to walk. There's a walk before us. I know many Christians that know the Word of God. They know the things that should be in their life. They know the things that they should be doing, but they intentionally do not walk worthy of God. He wants us to walk worthy of God. Hallelujah. That's the worthiness that he wants us to walk in, that we can be all pleasing to Jesus Christ. Think about what he's done for us. Again, it goes back. That's our reasonable service, isn't it? Isn't that a reasonable service? Hallelujah. Come on now. Yeah, I would feel a little bit bad. I feel a little bit bad when I read stuff like that. Because he's encouraging me. He's convicting me. Praise God. There's no condemnation to me. There's no condemnation to any of his children. Read Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That second part that was written after that, that wasn't God's word. Get that out of your word. I'm telling you. You'll see it's italicized. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You are free. Whom he has made free is free indeed. Praise God. All right. But I am strengthened here, not with just some, which would still be awesome, wouldn't it? If I could come up to you and say, hey, would you like some of the power of God? Well, I guess so. What part do you want to give me? Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you say? Wow. All. All. Where is his power? It's in his son. Where's his son? He's in you if you're a Christian. Praise God. Do you realize that? That's all the power of God that you have in your life. Praise him. I know we're a little bit weary tonight, but let's just rejoice in this and maybe we can be revitalized in him. Praise him. Praise him. Strengthened with all. But again, filled with that knowledge. Now, Hebrews 12:28, it says, we read that, by grace we can serve God. Oh, hallelujah. Acceptably, all pleasing, completely ravishing his heart, being fruitful in every good work, being the good ground, fertile, tending my garden, breaking up the fallow places, as Brother Hill used to encourage us so many times, such that the word would flow deep into our life. See, this is the ground that is well watered, the increase of 100-fold, that the fruit comes only in spirit and truth, and then it increases my knowledge in him. And notice here again, it only increases the knowledge of God. It never stops. Do you understand that? If you think that you've just covered it all and it's done, pray. I'm telling you, that's a really good time to pray and say, Lord, help me. Because I am not going to get anywhere in that kind of a spirit. It's the exceeding riches of his grace. It's going to go on forever. It's going to take the eternities to express and even get to even touch just the surface of what the love of God is. Can you imagine that? Forever. Time shall be no more, because it's got to stop, because it would be exhausted. We're talking a whole different dimension. My mind just left the building. Really, if you start thinking about that, didn't it? I mean, it's just gone. Because that's what God is. He's beyond us. Hallelujah. But He's given me His Spirit in His Son. I begin to know Him more and more. We know Him in suffering more and more. Hallelujah. We can begin to know Him in the power of His resurrection more and more. And being made conformable, hallelujah, unto His very death. Let's go on to verse 11. It says, now we can be strengthened with all His might, just as we touched on earlier. Not just some, but all. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Hallelujah. All the power of His might in His glorious power. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now this again is the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that the power of His might could be. This is the power, hallelujah, that came upon those disciples at Pentecost. It changed their complete life, didn't it? Hallelujah. It gave them the power to worship. It gave them the power to believe. It gave them the power to walk worthy, which is the same power that we need. And it gave them the power of a testimony for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have a testimony. I'm not encouraged to give out the Word of God. I just kind of sit and I hide and I'm ashamed. I don't know the Word. Get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and He'll give you boldness and He'll give you utterance to get out there and shed the love of God to people. I'm going to tell you, give out the Word of God, not just to the people that you know. Hallelujah. And again, this is in Him giving you the utterance, but don't be ashamed of what you have. It's just like old Peter said. He said, how could we not but profess the things that we've seen and heard, the love? I've got to get this out because it's just boiling out of me. Hallelujah. That's how God is. And I appreciate this again about Peter. He was the one that walked with Jesus Christ. He was there in the flesh with Jesus Christ. And you think about all the stumbling, bumbling that he did because he didn't have the power. At that time, he didn't have the power. How could people not think that there is something separate from salvation? Come on now. Think about it. Just read the Word of God. You know it in your own life, but know this. What I'm saying here is there's so many that will come at you. You say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I've been baptized. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit as those at the days of Pentecost? The evidence is speaking in tongues. Know your Word. Hallelujah. That's the evidence. That's the sign. Hallelujah. That's the evidence that you have the ability for that power that God has put in your life. Now that you have it, yield to it. Now that you have it, let the Holy Spirit expound all the truth to your life. Now you're going to get into knowing God. Now you're being able to be fruitful. Hallelujah. The grace of God can complete everything in your life. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. All right. But in that power, at the end of this, it says that we can live patience. Oh, how wonderful. In that power, we can live long-suffering. And in that power, we can live both of those with joyfulness. And again, I was thinking about that. You think about patience with joyfulness. That's an oxymoron. That doesn't happen, does it? You like to wait in a long movie line at the end, and then you get up there, and then they're sold out? Well, that's kind of like patience, I guess, in a way, huh? Was it for my good? But He can give you joyfulness. Now, that's kind of an analogy there, but I'm talking about where you know that the patience the Lord may be working in your life over a situation, might be a job, might be with your children, might be a lot of different things. With Christ and in that empowerment, there's joyfulness with it. Examine yourselves, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, don't live a lie. Examine yourself. If you're in something by the grace of God and it's a patient waiting and you're not living joyfulness, you're not living the power of God. Do you see that? Not. Come on. That's the overcomer. That's the overcomer. Let Him give you that. Let Him give you the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's bringing this to me. He's bringing it through you to me as well, too. Jesse, don't be weary, brother. Come on now. Look to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus that I am offering you. Get out of yourself and get into the joyfulness. That's the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. Okay, let's go into long suffering. Does He got you in a trial? Maybe in the body. And I appreciate the testimony of so many in this meeting that are being ravaged in their body by these things. Yeah, these things. wickedness and all those different things, that a lot of it has been caused by the wickedness of man. I believe many of the sicknesses that we have is because of the sins of man, whether it's through toxic things and all of those different deals and all that. But don't let your mind go there. Don't go blaming all that. Know that God allowed that for you. Do you realize that? Now, brother, that's easy for you to say. You're 40 and in good health, and I see you jumping around and you don't. You know what? I trust God. I do. I trust Him for it. I trust Him that if He puts me in that, and I say this before the Lord, I will trust Him. By the grace of God, we had a sweet sister that said, though He slay me, will I trust Him. I saw her back there. I saw her life. I see her dear son. Hallelujah here. It's wonderful. That's testimony. That's reward beyond. Did He heal her? Oh, yes, He did. I look by the grace of God to be healed like that someday. And I mean that. You know what I'm talking about. But that's the long suffering that we can have with joyfulness. Enough said. I'll stop on that one. I can tell maybe I'm digging too deep on that. All right. Lord will touch you with it. We'll get to verse 12 and we'll end it up tonight. This is such a wonderful verse here. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, praise God. This is such a wonderful verse. And then I'm thankful for everything. Because, see, I know that God's got a plan for me. That's what we're talking about here. That's what this Colossians of correction is there's a great plan. And it's called the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wants me to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what He's after. That's what Paul's wonderful dispensation is about the mystery of Christ. He doesn't want second best for you. He wants son glory for each and every one of His children today. That's what He's after. Praise God. I remember the last time I spoke with Brother Hill. I appreciated that. He's laying there pretty lifeless on that bed. Hadn't been speaking all day. My Aunt Fernie was there as well. He said, why don't you go back and see him? Because I had to go out of town. And that would have been the last time I'd see him on this earth. But see, I'll see him in the morning. I'll see him in the morning. I'll see him in the morning. But I looked at him and he's just laying there and just giving a little pat. And Lord caused me to pray. And he hadn't said anything, I don't think, for about a day or anything. He was just so quiet and kind of that coma was kind of coming over him and everything. And the Lord just so inspired and was there with us and it was sweet. And after so long, all I heard was that, amen. Amen. You know how he'd say that. And he couldn't stop saying, amen, amen. It was so sweet. And then just finished up and the tears were rolling down my cheeks because, you know, you're going to miss him and everything. But see, that's the hope I have. I was also glad. I was thinking, man, what am I in the presence of there? What glory that wonderful, wonderful life was going to step into really soon. That was the precious thing. That's why we don't sorrow as them that have that kind of sorrow, because we have hope. We have the hope in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I was looking at the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what was wonderful to me. Praise God. But then, that's what hit me so much, is I just patted him again and I said, oh, there's son glory for you, Grandpa. And all I remember is the last thing he said to me, the very last thing he said, oh, you reckon so. I know so. I know so. God told me at that time there's son glory for that life. Praise God. See, that is the victory. Hallelujah in Him. That's the victory. God's plan is His very best. And in that thankfulness of His very best, we spoke about it on Sunday. Thankfulness will rid your life of bitterness. If you're bitter about something, if you're jealous about things, whatever it may be, if you have an edge against me, get thankful. Get the thankfulness of God in your life. It'll rid that bitterness out of you. It'll rid judgment out of your life. It'll make you content in every single situation, every place that God puts you. And hallelujah. It's finally for this. What does He say here? That I, oh hallelujah, to make us meet. Put yourself in there, that I may be meet. To be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, by the grace of God, He wants me to be ready. He wants me to be fit. He wants me to be downright worthy. And we talked again about that word. Some of the ladies were teasing me, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. But in the Greek, it's sunkleronimus. Sunkleronimus. That means joint heir as man and wife. That word synkleronimus, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's the word for partakers here. We talked about that when we had a study on Ephesians 6 not too long ago. Ephesians 6 talks about the mystery of Christ. That the Gentile in that place right there is not speaking about Jews versus Gentiles. It's talking about the people of God, about Abraham's seed, which could be a Jew or a Gentile. It's called a child of God. Hallelujah. Gentiles could always be saved in the Old Testament. Who do you think Ruth was? What do you think Rahab was? Huh? God is never a respecter of persons. He wants them all. Praise God. And He's there for everybody to believe, if they would. And that's His will, but everybody doesn't step into the will of God. Huh? Huh? You always in the will of God? Nope. Nope. By His grace, may He encourage us to walk worthy and to be in that will. Huh? That's what He's encouraging us to be. But see, in that sixth verse of the third chapter, it says, again, that we could be, that the Gentile now could be a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. That word fellow heir in the Greek is synkleronimus. That really should be translated in better read. I'm telling you, best read. That the Gentiles now could be joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. That gives me so much peace. See, we know this. It's evident in the Word of God. But hallelujah, when we do rightfully divide the Word of God, when we do go line upon line, precept upon precept, it's real, man. It's the real deal. It's there and it's over and over there. Hallelujah. And every time, again, in His faithfulness, He brings it to our heart and to our mind. This is the mystery that we could be fellow heirs. Philippians 3:14, I've mentioned it many times tonight. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is that high calling of joint heirship with Jesus Christ. The calling of joint heirship is man and wife, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us worthy to be joint heirs as man and wife of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I can't stop there. I've got to keep you just a little bit longer. Okay, verse 2 that we read in Colossians. Remember, this was to the saints, but it didn't stop there, did it? And it said faithful brethren. There was a difference, wasn't there? Are faithful brethren saints? Yes, they are. Are saints necessarily faithful brethren? No, they're not. Is a child of God worthy of heaven? Absolutely. Are they guaranteed of heaven? Absolutely. But does it mean that every child of God is going to walk worthy of this high calling? No, it doesn't. Look what we've read in all of the different things to be strengthened with the Holy Spirit, that the knowledge of God and the love of God would so grow in our heart that we would walk worthy. This is what we're talking about. This isn't just about saints here, brothers and sisters. This is the saints in light. I want you to go with me in closing here to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. Brothers and sisters, this is the saints in light. This is the saint that has the light. This is the light by the grace of God that is going to be the light, that is going to be the joint heir with Jesus Christ as man and wife. Do you see it? I hope you do. It's so evident. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' time. This Colossians, this correction is just like Apollos. I so appreciate that man. That was a man full of the zeal for God, wasn't it? He loved the Lord. He was out there witnessing to people and all that. But you know what? God in His great mercy said, that man has the ability to be expounded all my truth. And He sent to him Priscilla and Aquila, which was so awesome. And they expounded him, what? A more perfect way. Amen. That's the correction. You see that? Whom He loves, He chastens. And He's going to chasten us in so many different ways. But the wonderful thing about it is He said, my grace is sufficient for all of it. It's all of it. Every single thing that you'll ever need, every ability that you ever need to have, it's in me. I'll give it to you. I'll be all power to you. I'll be all might to you because I've got to go to the Father so that you're not just going to do the things that I did. You're going to do greater things than me because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Do you see it all coming together? Precious hearts. I'm sure you've already seen this. I'm sure you've already heard this. But I hope that you're rejoicing even on a greater plateau this evening in it. Because it's God. And when you're in love with His Son, I'm going to tell you, He'll take you to heights. He'll take you to places that you've never been. It's like you go to another plateau and you may be there for some time. But hallelujah, in time He'll take you to another one and another one and another one. And someday He's just going to take you to the greatest one because He's going to let you be with Him. Praise God. That's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn in closing with me to John chapter 4, verse 23. That's John chapter 4, verse 23. It says, but the hour cometh and now is. See, this is the hour that now is. This is the time that we're living in. It's right here. It's right before us. When the true worshiper, hallelujah, is going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. Now, we've heard that so many times. And it again, this is all over the Bible. See, the Father is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Again, that Holy Spirit, like we talked about, is that power that He wants us to have. And people think that they can just go to the Father. You know how people say, well, I pray to God? It's in truth. When you worship His Son, when you worship His Son, that's when you worship Him. Do you get that? Hallelujah. I can't go to God unless I go to His Son. It's all in His Son. And this is the completeness. Praise the Lord. This is the final completeness of that saints in light, which is so wonderful. And you'll read about that New Jerusalem. It's back there in Revelation 3 and in 4. Because, and especially in Revelation 3 there. Well, it talks about her name is New Jerusalem. That's the bride of Christ. She's the bride adorned. Hallelujah. And if you read about her, you're going to read about her in the fourth chapter. And she is one of those wonderful four living creatures. And those four living creatures, what are they seen doing all the time? Worshipping. Worshipping. They lead the worship. They're always worshipping. The Father seeks those that are worshipping in Him, in spirit and in truth. Oh, the Lord bless us. Let's pray. Thank you again, dear God, for your truth. Thank you again for your spirit. Thank you again so mercifully that you've given it to us. Thank you, Lord, that we're living in the hour that now is, Lord Jesus, that you're searching for the pearl of great price. Lord, help us to become that complete and perfect, wonderful Son of God that only you by your grace can complete. We give you the praise and thank you for being here this evening. In your name, Jesus. Amen.